Almost leaving, but all right. All right. Thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. Day, finally a little bit nicer in the morning. Although it's been fairly nice up here. I know when I leave to go down to work in Poway down, I leave about 6:30 to go down every day. And it seems like lately it's been nice up here. Kind of sunny up here, but as soon as I get to either Santa Isabel or maybe just a little bit farther down than that, it gets really foggy. And down in Poway, it's been foggy and kind of yucky for till afternoon and sometimes the entire day. So nice to have the sun out and enjoy that, although I don't want it to be hot. I don't want anybody to think that I'm 100 degrees because I'm not. Kirsten might be, but I'm not. I don't like it hot. I'd rather have it 50 than 100. No, that's not the most common opinion. Russ agrees with me. All right, Russ, well, we're both elders, so we could just set that as a rule. That it's all right, Russ is in agreement. All right. As Tony has mentioned several times in the last few months, as we've been studying some of Paul's letters to the churches, Paul uses a lot of sporting metaphors, sports analogies in his messages. He mentions Tony's favorite, wrestling, in Ephesians chapter 6. He mentions boxing, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He talks about exercising unto godliness in 1 Timothy chapter 4. That word exercising in Greek is gymnazo. I'm not speaker, not native Greek speaker, but it's like that. And that's where we get our English word for gymnasium. But his most common reference to athletics is running. He mentions that many times. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Galatians chapter 5 verse 7 says, ye did run well. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 says, that I had not run in vain. Hebrews 12, 1, which we read, or which we will read in a moment, says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And as he said, as he saw the end of his life approaching, as he wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. That word course there is the word for the racetrack where the runners would compete. Now, Paul uses athletic metaphors because they stick with people. We use them today many times in our conversation, even talking outside of sports. We say, no pain, no gain. But give it your best shot. He who aims at nothing hits it every time. Throw in the towel, toe the line. We use athletic terminology all the time. And you can probably think of a million more, but those terms stick with us and we know what they mean. So we can use them and people understand. And Paul used athletic terms in his letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, talking about the Christian life, he said this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He was comparing the Christian life to a race. And he was comparing it to something that the Corinthians would know very well. Why did the Corinthians know athletics so well? Well, the Corinth was one of the four sites of the Panhellenic Games, the The most well-known of those four games was the Olympic Games. And that took place in the first year of a cycle known as an Olympiad. Well, in the second and fourth years, the Nemean Games took place in a place called Nemea. In the third year, the Pythian Games took place in Delphi. And in the second and fourth year, in a different month than the other games, were the Isthmian Games. And those took place in Corinth. And athletes and spectators from throughout Greece would come. This floor squeaks really bad here. I'm going to move over here. All right, I don't know why, but it squeaks really bad right there. So maybe that's where we buried all the treasure right now. Yeah, it's the hatch, yeah. I don't want to fall through that. I know that much. But athletes and spectators from throughout Greece would travel to attend those games. Paul lived in Corinth for a while. We don't know, he doesn't say, but perhaps he attended those games. The athletes would compete in foot races and wrestling, boxing, my favorite, pankration, my favorite, which was kind of a wrestling, boxing, free-for-all, which you could kick, you could choke, you could, the only thing that usually wasn't allowed in was gouging of the eyes. That wasn't allowed, although in some areas it was allowed. But it kind of like what we would think of mixed martial arts, so pankration. So if you want to take part in pankration, look that up. They would take the discus, the long jump, chariot racing, and interestingly enough, poetry reading, singing, and painting, which we don't usually think of as Olympic-type sports. But, you know, painting! Yeah, that's like, what's his name, Bob Ross, you know, happy guy. So painting. So using athletic references to the Christian life would make it more understandable to those folks. And even today, we can learn lessons about the Christian life when we consider that it is a race. Now, the most important thing about running a race is to finish the race. Once again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul knew that his earthly life was nearing its end. And in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the trials he'd gone through, he was able to say that he had finished his course. He didn't turn aside. He didn't retire from the race. He didn't lay down and quit. He finished his race. When you're running a race, having a world record pace halfway through the race doesn't mean a thing if you don't finish. You could have the best looking stride of any of the runners, but it doesn't mean a thing if you don't finish. In our Christian life, it's the same. You can have the best looking stride of anybody you know. But if you turn aside before the end of your race, how many souls are not going to be reached? If you quit the race, how many people that you could have influenced will be lost? So the question for us today is, how can we make sure that we finish our race? How can we make sure that we don't fall by the wayside? A few thoughts. In order to finish, you must set the right pace. In order to finish, you don't want to go too fast of a pace. I hesitate to talk about this, but I've seen it time and time again when new Christians come in, and boy, they are on fire. They sign up for everything. They get involved in everything. They want to do everything. But their service isn't based upon God's strength. It's based upon their own strength. And when their strength fails, they burn out and they leave the race. If you set too slow a pace, on the other hand, you'll wear out. I've seen this as well. People get saved and they won't do anything. You can't get them to sign up for anything. They don't want any responsibilities. They don't want to commit to anything. They just don't want to do anything. Oh, they'll come to the service. They'll sit and they'll listen, but they don't want to ever give out what they've taken in. Kirsten's dad, who was a pastor for 30 years, roughly, used to say they like to sit, soak, and sour. And that's what it is. They sit, they soak it in, but they sour. They turn bitter. That's because they're not doing anything, and they see all these other people doing something, and they start to get bothered by those who are serving, who are doing something. Then they're gone as well. So you've got to set a pace somewhere in the middle. You can't do everything. You'll burn out. But you shouldn't do nothing either. Find some area of service. Find an area that you can use your talents and your gifts and serve other people. Find some area of service in the church. There are many opportunities. Find something. Second thought, everybody has a different pace. When I was much younger, back in the late 70s, I worked at Air Wisconsin. And one of the guys I worked with was from England. His name was Pat Ewells. Now, you'll find this hard to believe, but Pat Ewells got me into running. Pat was a runner. He liked to run. He wasn't a professional runner, but he was a very good recreational runner, and he would run almost every day. And somehow he tricked me. I'm not sure exactly how, but he got me into going running with him. And eventually we were up to where we were running about 5 miles a day when we were running. Now, we weren't sprinting and we weren't setting any world record paces, but we were running. But he was always a much better runner than I was. I mean, we could run the same distance, but he would always have to run slower than he normally would run in order. Otherwise, he would just, you know, I'll see you at the end, and he would be 20 minutes later. I'd catch up with him, and he'd be sitting having a Coke or something. But he would have a different pace than I did. I read a magazine article one time written by a guy who was a marathon runner, probably an average to better than average marathon runner, had run in many marathons, and he was an editor, at least an assistant editor of this magazine on running, and he was doing an interview with one of the top marathoners of his time. And as they were kind of doing the interview while they were running, he asked him to said, why don't you run the pace that you would run if you were running a marathon? So the guy he was interviewing sped up and moved up to the pace that he would normally run a marathon at. And the guy writing the article said, I kept up with him for about a mile before I had to stop, because it was just too fast a pace. Now, this was a marathon runner who had run many marathons, but yet his pace was different than this elite marathon runner. You can see people today who try and run at the pace that elite marathon runners run. In fact, Eliud Kipchoge is the world record holder in the marathon. If you run, you may know who is that name. But they have set up a treadmill, and they take this around to different marathons for people to run at the pace that he runs the marathon at. I have some video clips today that we're going to see, hopefully. Let's see if we can get this one playing. Okay, so here, this is the pace that he normally, and these people are trying to run the pace that he normally runs at. And he goes, oh, that's what I would do if that was me. This is him running his pace. Set the world record, 2:01. But he runs that pace the entire 26 miles. And these people were trying to run the pace that he runs at. And you can see they can keep up for a while, perhaps. But I like this guy so much. Just because it's not me, I'm going to show it again. So, and that's what I would do. But you can see, Kipchoge, he ran the marathon, and we read it up there a minute ago, 26.2 miles, in 2:01:39. He finished more than a mile ahead of the second place runner, more than 4 minutes faster than the second place runner. Later on in an exhibition with using alternating pacers, someone who would run to keep his pace up to speed, which made it not legal for or not eligible for a world record, he ran 26.2 miles in 1:59:40. That's a mile every 4.5 minutes. Now that's faster than probably many of us could run even from here to there. It's definitely faster than I could run from here to here. Now, maybe if you're a runner, you could keep up with that pace for a period of time. There are some YouTube videos of runners who ran that pace for like 10 minutes before they like cramped up and fell over. But he runs that distance for 26.2 miles. But every runner is different. Usain Bolt can run much faster than he can, but he can run much longer than Usain Bolt. They have different skills, different abilities that are unique for the race that they are in. And the Christian life is the same way. God gives every person talents and abilities unique and suited for them. He gives or may give one person more of a talent in one area than he gives to another person. Why? So we can all be used to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. If everyone had the exact same talents, the exact same abilities, there would be people who couldn't be reached. I may be able to do something that you can't do. But you undoubtedly can do things that I cannot do. God may choose to give someone talents in a lot of different areas. And he may choose to give another person talents in just one or a few areas. But working together, we use those talents to reach the lost. Romans chapter 12 says, starting in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." God gives different skills and abilities to different people so they can reach different groups of people. Don't ever compare your race with someone else's race. Don't ever compare your abilities with someone else's abilities. God has given them their abilities, and he's given you your abilities. Use what God has given to you. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 6. "But let each examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load." God has given you a unique race. Your race is different than mine. It's different than anyone else's. You can't run my race. I can't run your race. God has given each of us a race and the abilities that are necessary to run that race. There are thousands of people who have way more talent and ability than I have. Many of you here probably have more talent and ability than I have. But I don't have to be you. I don't have to be them. I just have to run the best race I can with the talents and abilities that God has given me. And that's all you have to do as well. You have to run the best race you can run with what God gives you. God isn't going to judge me or you on how you compare to others, but how you did with what He gave to you. Remember the Bible story of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. God gave, or the master gave, 5 talents to one servant, 2 talents to another servant, and 1 talent to another servant. Well, the ones who had 5 talents and 2 talents used theirs wisely, and they received the exact same reward, even though they were given different levels of talent. The one who got the 1 talent used his unwisely, and he was punished. Doesn't matter how much ability you were given, it matters how you use the abilities that you were given. Now, everybody has different abilities, but also they have different experiences. We have different backgrounds, different upbringings. Some of you here may be newer Christians. Some of you here may have been saved a long time. Anybody here been saved less than 10 years. You've been saved less than 10 years, okay? Less than 10 years. How many of you have been saved more than 20 years? All right? A lot of people. How many more than 40 years? All right? More than 50 years? A few people. I've been saved 57 years. So a long time. We have different people at different stages of their Christian race. We have new believers, we have mature believers who've been saved a number of years. We have senior saints who, like Paul, are closer to the end of the race than they are to the beginning of the race. Like Paul, they can see the end of the race approaching. And each of these groups of people are going to have a different pace. Third, pace can be improved with experience, and it should improve with experience. Runners keep track of their personal best time for the races they run. They want to see the improvement as they train and as they race. They can see the improvement in their times by the lowering of their times. But unlike a race, you can't easily measure a Christian life's pace. You can't use a stopwatch to see how good of a Christian somebody is. Because it's not how fast you go or even how much you do. It's how much more you are like Christ than you were before. We ought to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. We ought to know our Bibles better today than we did last year. We ought to be a better witness today than we were in the past. We have to be constantly improving in our Christian life, constantly seeking to be more like Jesus, not going back, not standing still, but going forward. How do we do that? Well, the best runners use the best equipment and the best training. Top runners don't run in Walmart tennis shoes. Those are cheap, and that's what I use, but I'm not a runner. But top runners don't use that. They use equipment made out of high-tech materials. Kipchoge wears Nike Vaporfly shoes. How many of you have ever heard of Nike Vaporfly shoes? No, very few people have. The Vaporfly has different foam and carbon inserts. Tests have shown that Vaporflies increase a runner's speed by more than 4%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but in races that may be won by seconds or tenths of seconds, that can be a big deal. Any runner who wants to finish and finish well is going to use every item at his disposal, every piece of equipment, every piece of training that he can get his hands on, he's going to use in his race. Well, God has given to us the best equipment. Everything that we need to successfully run our race and finish our race, he has given to us. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 13, talks about the full armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God has given us everything we need to successfully finish our race. We have the Bible, we have prayer, we have faith, we have grace, we have a church family, we have preaching. We have leaders who love us and care for us and pray for us. Everything we need to finish our race is provided to us. And unlike the Nike Vaporfly and other types of running equipment, our equipment is free. It doesn't cost us anything. All we have to do is take it and use it. Take advantage of what God freely gives. But something else that runners do, if they want to finish their race, is they get rid of the things that hinder them. A runner makes sure that all extra weight has been removed from his body. A runner wearing combat boots, ankle weights, and a winter coat isn't going to do very well in his race. They change the way they eat. They change their schedule. They change their sleep habits. They do away with certain things that hinder their training and their performance. Anything that affects how they run, they get rid of if they want to be successful in their race. And in our race, we ought to do the same thing. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that was set before us." There are two things that Christians ought to lay aside or do away with. We'll mention the second first because it's the most obvious: sin. We will not be successful in our Christian life if we are actively engaged in sin. We have to be constantly on the lookout for sin. It's all around us. We encounter it every day. And the world is trying to make sin seem normal, to seem acceptable, to seem natural, to make us ignore it. And when something becomes so prevalent, if we're not careful, we'll begin to accept it as well. Sin seems to have a pattern. First, Christians abhor sin. No one should do that. I'm going to let them know that they shouldn't be doing that. Second, they ignore it. I wouldn't do it, but if others want to do it, it's up to them. It doesn't affect me. I'm not going to offend them by telling them about it. Third, they accept it. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody who does that. And fourth, they practice it. I don't think there's anything wrong with me doing that. That seems to be a pattern. But notice that sin is something that easily besets us if we're not careful. sin will hinder our Christian race. So we need to watch out for it. But the other thing is weight. We don't think about that. Weight refers to anything that hinders our walk with God. It speaks of things that might be innocent of in and of themselves, but when they slow down your Christian race, they are weights, and we have to get rid of them. The list of these things could be endless, but some of them are seeking entertainment instead of fellowship and communion with God. Seeking possessions and things of the world instead of seeking out God and the things He has for us. Giving most of our attention to things like music, TV shows, movies, video games that focus our mind on the world and not on the Lord. Might even be people. There are some people who would hinder your Christian race. And we may have to change some of the people we closely associate with because of it. In short, a weight could be anything that does not build us up or make us stronger in the Lord. Anything that does not draw us closer to the Lord should be carefully considered. And if it's hindering our race, we need to get rid of it. And when you have that kind of an attitude, the question of questionable things changes from, is doing this thing okay, or is doing this thing permissible? It changes it to, is doing this thing helpful? Does allowing this in my life help me to be a better Christian? Does it help me to be more like Jesus? Will allowing this to come in my life help me to run my race? Will it encourage me? Will it inspire me? Will it make me more like Jesus? Everything we allow in our life should be considered by those questions. The army of Alexander the Great was advancing on Persia. And at one point in the battles, it appeared that Alexander's army might be defeated. You see, the soldiers had taken a lot of plunder from previous victories. And they had become burdened with all of this extra stuff that they were carrying around and dragging behind them as they advanced in battle. So Alexander immediately commanded that all the stuff that they had taken as plunder in battle be piled up and burned. Now the soldiers were upset at first, but eventually they saw the wisdom of that action. Somebody in the battle wrote, "It was as if wings had been given to them. They walked lightly again. Victory was assured." We need to watch out for things that weigh us down in our Christian life. Next, when a runner stumbles or falls, they need to get up and start running again if they're going to finish the race. In 2008, this will be video two in a minute, but the indoor Big Ten track championships, Heather Dornenden, now she is not related to the Dornens, I don't think, although maybe after the race they want her to be, but she was running in the 600-meter race, and she was one of the favorites to win. She was running comfortably through the first almost 400 meters, and she had just moved into first place as she approached the line for the last lap in the race. And then, get the video going, this happened. So here she's coming around, that's her in the outside there. She's just moving into first place from Minnesota, not Michigan, unfortunately. Oh, and she falls down. But she gets up and starts running again. Now she could have just laid there, cried, and said, you know, boo-hoo me, I fell down, my race is over. But she got up and started running again. And as you can see, she is catching up to the other runners. She's already passed the fourth runner there. Now she's casting the third, and eventually she wins the race. Amazing. Somebody wrote, if she had just won, she would have been forgotten a day later. Instead, she fell, got up, and fought against all odds, and now she will inspire millions forever. But you know, even if she wouldn't have fallen or gotten and won, if she would have just got up and ran and finished last, she would have been an inspiration because she didn't quit. She fell down, but she got back up and kept running. Now, in this case, she ran, or she won. But even if she wouldn't, she would have been an inspiration for the effort. And in our race, we're going to stumble occasionally as well. We might even fall down a time or two. You see, our race doesn't take place on a smooth running track. There are hills and valleys in our race. There are cracks in the road that we'll encounter. There are people who will attempt to stop you and get in your way. The devil is going to put obstacles in your way. Sometimes the road gets hard and the problems seem hard to navigate. Sometimes you just have to go slower, but you have to keep going. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You fall. Okay. Get up, brush yourself off, and get going again. Circumstances are hard. Life gets tough. Okay. Be like Paul. Press forward. Keep going. My grandmother, Cornelia Starlin, my dad's mother, started serving God as a young woman, teaching a girl Sunday school class. She was a loving wife and mother. She served God faithfully. Then suddenly, unexpectedly, at the age of 34, her husband passed away. He had had a minor surgery. The doctor came out and said everything was going to be okay. 20 minutes later, the doctor came out and said he was gone. Something happened and he passed away. 5 children at home. She had to go out and get a job at the local GM plant, where the men gave her a hard time because she was one of the few women on the shop floor. Things got hard, but she didn't quit. Money was tight. She didn't quit. I remember every year for Christmas, she would give the grandkids $1, a dollar bill. Parents said, that's hard for her. But she didn't quit. She didn't get mad at God. She didn't quit serving. She taught that same girls' Sunday school class for more than 40 years. Until she had grandkids of her first students in her class. She kept running her race. And last, determine to finish your race. I've showed this video before, this video clip before, a sermon about 10 years ago I preached. So some of you might remember it if you've been here a long time. But it fits so well with the sermon today, I wanted to show it again. I want to take you back to October 20th, 1968, Mexico City Olympics. 6:40 p.m., the last runner in the marathon finished about 20 minutes earlier. The winner finished more than an hour earlier. They've already had the medal ceremony for the race. There were just a couple of thousand people, perhaps, left in the stadium. And the announcer asked them to return to their seats. They could hear police sirens in the distance. From their vantage point, many of them could see police motorcycle lights heading towards the stadium. The announcer said someone was getting ready to finish. Whoever it was, they could see that he was moving very slowly. Why had this man taken so long? What had gone on? You can start the video. I'll talk during the plays. John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania is entering the stadium. His knee is wrapped with a makeshift bandage. He had suffered a fall just before the halfway point of the race. He injured his shoulder, he dislocated his knee, and he was trampled on by other runners. Sometimes he could barely walk, much less run. And yet, here he was, 12 miles later, stumbling his way to the finish line. Crowd's response was overwhelming. They encouraged him through the last few meters of his race with an ovation that was louder than the winner had received. He finished his race. The next day, the media interviewed him about his extraordinary feat. First question they asked was one that we probably would have asked. Why, after sustaining the kinds of injuries that you did, would you get up and proceed to the finish line when there was no way you could possibly win, much less make the podium in the race? And he said this: "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. I never even thought of stopping. God didn't put us here to start a race or to run a race. He put us here to run the race until we finish the race. That's why He left us here, so that we could finish a race." Let's bow our heads. Are you in the race? You can't be in the Christian race just by going to church or being a good person or saying that you believe that Jesus existed. You have to trust Jesus and trust Him alone as your Savior in order to be in the race. Has there ever been a time in your life when you prayed and asked Christ to forgive your sins, come into your heart, and save you? No. Almost all of you here, and I believe that most all of you are saved, but only you know for sure. Ever been a time when you did that? If not, you can do it today. Pray and ask God to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you, and He will. But if you're a Christian already, how's your race going? Are you faithfully running your race? If so, keep on going. Don't quit. Don't get sidetracked by the world. Keep running your race. If your race is going well, then you need to decide to help others with their race. It's not enough to walk by somebody who's stumbled and fallen and leave them lying on the ground and do nothing, saying, "I'm doing my race." To see people staggering and limping along and not stop and help them with their race, like others have helped us with our race. Maybe it's helping children as they begin their race, newly saved young people. Maybe it's helping teenagers as they go through changes that can cause many to fall. Maybe it's helping the senior saints as they're near the end of their race. Find someone to help in your race. Help with their race. If you stopped your race, you stopped serving, the great thing is you can start up again. You might not be in the same place as when you stopped, or be able to run the same pace, but you can start running again. Like Akwari, you may have stumbled and fallen, but you can finish. God can still use you. Let God help you to finish your race and be determined that you're going to be faithful until either Christ comes or Christ calls you home. Finish your race. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to run the race. Lord, help us to be faithful to run that race. Help us to not be distracted and taken off by the things that we pass and the things that come into our lives, but Lord, help us to be faithful in running the race you've given us to run. Lord, help us to find someone to help in their race as we faithfully run ours. Thank you for this day and the opportunity to hear from you in Jesus' name. A couple of announcements. And we'll be dismissed. Sorry that I kept you a few minutes long. Big thank you to cleaning crew number 2 for cleaning the church for us. The landscaping crew who helped out at the Dackermans on Wednesday. And those who came and helped at Julian Oaks work day last Monday. Thank you to all of you. Remember, join us downstairs today following the second service. Misty? Yay. For our next VBS meeting, find out how you can help someone in their race. Our daily bread devotionals are available in the back. So if you haven't gotten one of those, please take one. Join us this Saturday, June the 10th, from 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock to help with some much-needed cleaning here at Hillside. There is a job for everyone. And to show our gratitude, lunch will be provided. See more of the details there in your bulletin. Ladies, women's Bible study opportunity for the summer. Do you ever feel like you're in a constant battle? It's because you are. Join us starting Tuesday, June the 13th, as we learn to employ one of our greatest weapons, prayer. So you can find out all the details right there. Woohoo, another woohoo in the back. Find out all the details from 6:30 to 8 on Tuesday nights. So please sign up in the back. We have a sign-up sheet for that, or we'll have. All right, that's all the announcements that I have. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate that. Have a good week, safe week, and see you next Sunday. You are dismissed. Thank you very much.